Begin the current daf, Maseches Menachos daf Yud Ches. Begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is we had opened up our perek, the third perek in Maseches Menachos, actually called HaKoimitz Rabbah, because it actually starts up with the same words, and therefore would be the same title as the second perek. So therefore it calls that HaKoimitz Rabbah, the bigger Koimitz, which is the perek, the third perek, starting over the same idea of HaKoimitz as HaMincha as in the second perek. Now, our Mishnah opened up regarding Machlikis, Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham, someone, as the previous parakim had spoken about, when he's doing one of the four avoidis by Mincha with a Machshav of Pigal, so generally the Allah would be becomes Pigal. However, the Machlikis, Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham, was regarding a case when he has in mind to eat something that's not normally eaten, or to burn something that's not normally burnt. So on that, Rabbi Elazar said, that's going to be possible. In contrast, the Chacham said, it's going to be kasher because that wasn't the machshava of pigel. Now, there's a machlekes in the Gemara, and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, different traditions that were handed down, if his halacha was coming, that it's a biblical invalidation, and therefore it's going to be pigel, or it's only rabbinic, and therefore it's going to be only pasul, because it's only based on rabbinic law. So that, the Gemara wanted to prove that we find a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar in what is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara wanted to say, seemingly that's the point. Does one get karis for this type of machshava pigel, if he eats from that mincha or not, assuming that would be dependent if it's deraita, then it's karas, if it's drabban, it's not karas. And that the Gemara said, no, that's not what they're disagreeing about. We could say that actually everyone holds in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that's only rabbinic, as the wording of our Mishnah seems to indicate that it's only pasal, not pigel, and it's not going to be karas. And rather, there's a three-way machlekes in the Braisa that the Gemara brought regarding the halacha of hanacha. One has in mind, generally the halacha of pigel is to eat or to burn something the following day beyond its time. The machlekes was regarding just leaving it over, what's called hanacha. Tanakhama held that the machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, as we find them in our Mishnah, as the Braisa brings the first case over there regarding eating something that's not normally eaten, which is, let's say, to eat the kaimitz or to burn the shirayim. That's where they have a machlekes if there's going to be a liability or not. But Lahanich said the Tanakhama, who doesn't quote the case of the Sefer, because everyone would hold that it's kosher, because that's not a machshava pigel. In contrast, the second opinion mentioned the Braisa, that of Rabbi Yehuda, held, you're right, their homachlikis is only in the case of eating something that's not normally eaten, burning something that's not normally burnt. But Lahaniach, he holds, everyone agrees it's actually going to be pasul. What's the reason? Because since if one had in mind to leave over all the blood, which would be a problem about just like Nicer, so to machshava of Nicer, so even having in mind to leave over some of the blood is a gezerah d'rabbanan atu kulay by leaving over all of it. In contrast, the third opinion, the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar held that no, actually the same machlekes Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim would be in the second case of laneach too, of a machshav laneach, is also the machlekes if it's going to be kosher or pasul. So that was the Gemara's explanation in that Braisa. That asked the Gemara, is that really so, the way you're reinterpreting the Braisa, that it doesn't support Rav Asi's contention that there's a machlekes in Rabbi Elazar's opinion itself of Tanoim if it's the Braisa d'rabbanan? And no, everyone holds the Rabbanan, the Machlekes is regarding the Machshav of Laniach, and then it comes out the way you're interpreting it, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that according to him, everyone would hold Machshav of Laniach is possible. On that, as the Gemara, is that really so, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone agrees that having in mind to leave over the blood tomorrow, that's going to be possible? But for Tanya, we learn the Braisa, which the conclusion of that Braisa is going to be, that you're going to see that it's not true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't hold everyone holds it's possible. So that refutes the interpretation the Gemara is giving right now. Because the Braisa teaches as follows. Omer Rebbe. Rebbe says, Keshalachti lamatzas midoisai. He says, when I went to clean out my measurements, which the way it used to be in Talmudic times, that the oil would, or whatever measurements, like that viscous type of liquid would get stuck in the measurements, so they had to do what's called mitzui, like the Gemara Bava Metzia talks about, just to squeeze out the measurements. What allegorically that means to say, he says, I was going to squeeze out my learning to figure out all my doubts I had. It's a Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua. I went to Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua to figure out all my areas in halacha that I don't know. V'amrila, some say what he was saying was, matzas midayis of Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua. When I went to squeeze out him, meaning to figure out, what is he smarter than me? What does he know that I don't know? Either way, whichever one it was, he went to him to figure out the area of doubt. Now, Matzasi Yosef Abavli Yishlufanam, he says, I found Yosef the Babylonian who was sitting in front of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Vayechavavloi. And Yosef was very dear to Rabbi Elazar, be Yosef very much, and they were talking about, discussing and learning in halachas, ad la'achas, until they reached one halacha in Masech Tzvachim, or another interpretation meaning Yosef, that it was very dear to Yosef, whatever Rabbi Elazar taught him, until they reached one halacha, which then there was contention. Amalai, Yosef HaBavli said to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, he says, Rebbe, my teacher, someone is slaughtering a carbon, and he has in mind that he's going to leave over the blood for the following day, which is beyond the time that it can be used. Which is exactly the case that we were discussing in that price from the previous stuff. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua says, it's valid, it's not a problem. Which was like the opinion of the Chacham that we brought in the Braisa. Arvis Amalei Kasher, when he asked him in the evening, again he said it's Kasher. Shachas, when he asked him in the morning, Amalei Kasher, again he said it's Kasher. Tzaraim Amalei Kasher, when he asked him at noon, he also said it's Kasher. Mincha Amalei, when he asked him in the afternoon, he said Kasher, it's Kasher. El Abad, Shrub Eliezer Paisel. But there is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer who said it's going to be invalid. Oh, at that point, Sabu Panav. The face of Yosef, his face lit up because of joy. Shall Yosef Bavli of Yosef the Babylonian. So Amalai, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua said to him, Yosef, k'medumani, it appears to me, shali kivneinu shemusein ad ata, that we didn't have any clarity in our teachings up until this point. In other words, since you weren't excited up until this point, it seems like you hold whatever we said up until now was not appropriate. Amalai, so he said to Rabbi Elazar, Rebbe, my teacher, hen. Yes, no, you definitely were precise in your teachings, and you got the halacha correct. Ella, but the reason why my face only shines right now is Rabbi Yehuda, Pasul Shanali. What Rabbi Yehuda taught me this halacha that I just asked you, he told me that actually if someone has the kavana of lanir, it's going to be invalid. Now, v'chazarti al kol tamidav, so I went around to all his students, u'bikashtulichav, and I went to find someone, a colleague, someone that would agree with me. I never found anyone who said that they heard from Rabbi Yehuda the same thing that I had heard, and I was afraid that maybe I forgot my learning, and maybe I was incorrect. Achshav shashanisa li pasul, but now that you taught me the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that it's pasul, hechzarta li avadasi, returned to me that lost object that I also had heard once from Yehuda that it was pasul, and therefore that's why my face is lighting up right now. Says Rebbe, Zolgu Einav Demoyis Shal Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. So the eyes of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua were pouring out tears. Amar, and he said, Ashreichem Tamit HaChacham, praiseworthy are you Talmudic scholars, Shadivri Torah Chaviv Na'alechem B'Yesu, that the words of Torah are so dear to you, and Karalov HaMikra Azen, he recited on him the Pasuk and Tehillim that says, Mo Ahavti Soyres Secha, how much I love your Torah, Kol Ayam Hisichasi, all day it's what I talk about, B'Gayim, etc. Now, he said, now, so he was excited that he heard that there is someone who says this, but he told him, Habimnei Rabbi Yehuda, says, you know why Rabbi Yehuda taught you the halacha that it's possible? It's because Rabbi Yehuda was Bnei Rabbi Elai. Rabbi Yehuda was Rabbi Elai, the son of Rabbi Elai. Now, Rabbi Elai, Tamid is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elai was a student of Rabbi Eliezer, as the Gemara says in the Sukkot of Chazayim Abayz, of a story of Rabbi Elai, that he went to receive the face of his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. That's why when you asked him the halacha, he told you the teaching of Rabbi Eliezer, but not that that's the halacha. It's just that it was dear to him because it was his father's rebbe, and therefore he taught it to you. But really, the halacha is like I told you that it's kosher. But yes, don't worry, you didn't confuse your learning. Rabbi Yehuda did teach you the teaching of his father's rebbe, which was that it was possible. Now that was the brisa that we see what Rebbe had said over that narrative. Says the Gemara, and if you entertain, like the Gemara had said from the previous daf, that what did Rabbi Yosef HaBavli learn from his teacher Rabbi Yehuda? What did Rabbi Yehuda teach him? If you think like you had quoted in the previous brisa to interpret it, that Rabbi Yehuda held that everyone holds, not just Rabbi Eliezer, everyone, because that was how we said Rabbi Elazar holds. But we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that according to everybody, although there's a machlekes regarding having mashabah to eat something that's not normally eaten or burn something that's not normally burnt, to Nechum Rabbi Eliezer, but regarding mashabah l'niach, we were saying that he holds, everyone holds it's going to be possible. If that's the case, they mahachzar to liavidasi, then what was Yosef Bavli saying, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua? That, oh, you finally returned to me my lost object, my teaching that I had never heard since then. But Ihu Plukta Kamale, what do you mean? Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua did not tell him like he had heard from Rabbi Yehuda, because he was telling him that it's a machlaikis, and you're saying, the way that whoever's interpreting the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda had told them that everyone holds his pasul. So it's difficult, according to the one who had previously interpreted the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda held, that when it comes to Machshava L'Aniach, everyone holds his pasul. Yet here we see clearly from this narrative that it wasn't the same thing, that he only heard that it's a machlaikis. Now, and that the Gemara responds back and says, no, that's not a question. Because Elamai. So what do you want to say? What did Rabbi Yehuda teach him? That you want to prove from this brisa? That, yeah, kosher, according to Rabbanan, it's kosher. Rabbi Eliezer in the Girsa takes the word pasul, poislasnir. that and Rabbi Eliezer had said that it's going to be pasul, and that's what he was teaching him regarding pasul, like you want to reject our interpretation from the previous daf. But if that's the case, then my hob mepnei, then what's this? Oh, because, in other words, it sounds like that because it was dear to him, because it was his father's rebbe, that's why he taught it to you. But not that it's really the halacha. That's what he's saying. Mepnei, you wonder why he said it to you, that's possible, although it was really kosher, because that was the opinion of his father's rebbe. But the difficulty with that is, but anan nami, but us also. I mean, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, plukter kamas ninan. We also learn, as the Gemara Zvachim Devlam Avam Manav says, according to this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that's contingent on machlekes. So if that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, so what's he saying? Oh, don't worry what he told you. It's not really what the appropriate interpretation is. He only said it because it's his father's Rebbe. What do you mean? If you're telling Rabbi Yehuda himself told him it's a machlekes, we also agree it's a machlekes. What did he say wrong? Did he say, oh, he only said it because it's dear to him? Ella rather says the Gemara La'ilam, truthfully we could say, like we said in the previous daf, Divri HaKol Pasul Asniye, that everyone that he was saying, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was everyone holds, and that's what he was teaching Yitzhak Bavli, that it's going to be Pasul. So then the question is, Omai Chazartali Avodasi, so then what was he saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, that, oh, you returned to me my lost object? What do you mean? He didn't tell him the opinion that everyone holds is Pasul. He told him that it's a machlaikish between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda told him. So why he was thankful was because the hadli mi shum pasas ba'olam. He was at least excited that he said at least someone says it's invalid. You're right, he didn't say the same thing like Rabbi Yehuda told him. Rabbi Yehuda said it's according to everyone, and he was telling him that it's a machlekes. But at least he said someone says, because up until that time in the afternoon, in the evening, in the morning, at noon, he always told them it's kasher. So then he was getting worried. He says, I heard it's pasul. Now that he at least said that there is an opinion, so he was excited at least that he heard pasul, because what he heard from Yehuda was everyone agrees that it's pasul, and therefore doesn't refute the interpretation from the previous stuff. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Now, continuing on a related discussion of the previous Mishnah is regarding invalidations, things that are lacking, not like we were saying but regarding Machshava Pigel, but other activities that are lacking in the Mincha regarding their qualifications. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yotzak, which is Rashi qualifies that this is if he didn't pour the last pouring of oil on the Mincha, because there's actually three stages. First, they pour the oil into the vessel, then they put the flour in. Then, as the Shittim Mugabetzis adds on, they go and they pour more oil, then they mix it, and then they pour a third time oil. As the Gemara explains in Neilim Menachis, later on of the Ayin Dalam Abeis. So let's say they didn't pour the last pouring of the oil. Loibol, they didn't mix the flour with the oil, meaning the middle stage. For example, let's say they placed all the first leg of oil, because we're saying that could be even the last one wasn't done. And then we're going regarding the middle one. But the first one, as Rashi points out, had to have been done before the mixing, because if you didn't put in the first leg of oil, then you're missing some of the minimum amount of oil. As the Gemara says in the first parak, and if you had alef manav, it's going to be pasul. Misham, no, you can't be missing any of the oil. But you put in the first leg, but you didn't do, not even possibly the last one, like we said, regarding leyotzek. And leibol is, you didn't even mix it with the flour, which is the middle one. Either one, is v'lei pasas. That is, he didn't crumble, because after there's certain flour offerings that are baked, then they crumble and then they take a fistful, like the pasuk says, pasas ice a pisim, you have to crumble it. That, let's say they didn't crumble the flour offering. Now, although actually that pasuk is only mentioned by the Michas Machavas, which is the shallow pan one, but the same thing applies to all the menachas that are baked, Machavas, Macheshes, and Mafe, because they all bring, they're all coming 10 breads of each type, and there's a mitzvah to crumble them all, and then to take the fistful. So that's what the halacha of the Mishnah is saying, that if let's say that they didn't crumble the whole thing, only enough to do a fistful, because the fistful has to be from the crumbled parts, but it was not, the whole thing wasn't crumbled, only enough to do a kmitza, that's what the Mishnah is saying, it's going to be kasha, as the Gemara says later on, El Menachas, Lav Ayin Haman base. Or let's say B'lei Malach, let's say they didn't salt the flour offering. Or V'lei Hanif, specifically by the Michas Ha'omer and the Michas Kanoyis, that which comes with the Saita, which they have to be elevated, as the Gemara says later on, of Samach Aleph and Aleph. Let's say they didn't do the elevation, they didn't lift it up. Or Lehigish, they didn't do what's called Hagasha, to bring the Mincha to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, as the Gemara will explain. Or let's say, like we said, after that it's baked, then it's crumbled, and then the kmitz is taken, as the Gemara says in Perek Eilam Anachas, that later on of Ayin Hei Med Aleph. Let's say they did the crumbling, but they did it Pita Merubais, which is that the crumblings that they made it were much larger than the halacha requires. which is the Gemara says later on in the Dafayin Hemet Aleph, by a Minchas Yisrael that a Yisrael brings, you have to fold over the baked mincha into two, then the two into four. And let's say he didn't break it down to small pieces. He broke it only into big pieces. Or Vele Mashchan, let's say he didn't anoint those flour offerings that required to be spread oil over them, like the Pasuk says, Rikiki Matzis Meshuch Meshem and Beikar Zayin, that some of them have to be anointed with oil. Let's say he didn't do any one of these avoidis ksheira, the mincha is still going to be kasha. Now the Gemara explains the halachas of the Mishnah. Malo Yotzek, what's the opening halacha? They didn't pour the oil. Again, as we explained, it's the last pouring of the oil. Ilim Malo Yotzek Klal, if you think it means they didn't pour the oil at all, but Ikuvik Sibba. But the Pasuk requires that it's an integral part, which means to say if you don't do it, it's going to be pasul. And Rashi has two interpretations, either because the halacha of yitzika of pouring is said once by the mincha sasailas, and then it's repeated by a different type of mincha called the mincha machavas. Now the Gemara later on the next daf, Yutessim Beis, tells us, wherever the pasuk says something regarding the halachas of the mincha, and then repeats it again, it's telling you it's ma'akim, that it's integral. Or another interpretation, it says in Vayikra Beis, v'yitzakto le'oshem, and you should pour in it the oil, mincha hi. What is the word mincha? He means to say, this is the mincha, but not one that you didn't pour on the oil. Because whenever it says the word he, it means it's ma'akif. Now, as Rashi points out, although the Gemara later on, the Vayin Hemet Aleph, actually from that words in the Pasuk, comes to exclude and saying it's only this one, but not by the Michas Ma'afa, that does not require Yitzika. But says Rashi, even so, the word he still says, but this is being ma'akif. Although it's being used to exclude something, it's also saying that this is being ma'akif. But either way, now how can you say that lo yotzek, to say that it means you didn't pour at all, but it's ma'akev, it has to be that oil was poured in it. Ella rather says the Gemara, lo yotzak koyin elazar. What does it mean that he didn't pour on the oil? It doesn't mean it wasn't poured at all, it has to be poured. It means that if a koyin didn't pour it, but rather a non-koyin, that's still going to be a kasher mincha. Now, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then loybol nami. Then the second case of the Mishnah, which is also a type of a pouring of the oil, which is this middle stage when you mix the oil with the flour, is that also loybol kain elazar? That would also seem to indicate that's talking about that, not that it wasn't mixed at all, but it's just that it wasn't mixed by a kain, but it was mixed by a non-kain. Now the inference would be, like you want to say by yatzak, haloybol klal, but if let's say it wasn't mixed at all, then psula, then it would be invalid. It's only saying that if a kain didn't mix it, but if a Yisrael mixed it, it's going to be kasher. But let's say it wasn't mixed at all, it sounds like it would be invalid, like the case of yitzika. However, the Gemara continues on Beis and as, but Vatznan will in the Mishnah later on the Kof Gimel on Beis and Perikam Anachas about the Sachem that says Shishim 60 Esrainim, which is the minimum measurement of a mincha is a isarin of an eifa, a tenth of an eifa. So let's say someone's bringing a mincha of 60 of these measurements of Esrainim that are nivlalim, that are mixed with one leg of oil. So that's something that could be done. But Shishim Echad, but 61 Esrainim of flour. A nevlalim, that doesn't mix well with one leg of oil. And therefore, what the halacha is saying is that you're not allowed to bring 61 esrainim in one vessel because you're only allowed to bring one leg of oil for the mincha. You're not allowed to bring two legim. Like Abelezer ben Yaakov, who says this opinion in Perek Shtei Midas on the Bechesim and Aleph, that even a mincha of 60 esrainim, you only bring one leg. So with one leg, 60 esrainim can mix. 61 it can't. And since you can't bring more than one leg, you can't bring it with 61 esrainim. Or actually, a different interpretation Rashi says, this halacha could even be like the Rabbanan, who say that actually, with 60 Esrainim, you bring 60 loig, because you bring a loig per Isara, not like Rabbi Lezman Yaakov. But still, it's not going to be able to mix in one vessel 61 Esrainim, and therefore, you can only bring up to 60, you can't bring 61. But either way, says the Gemara, Vavinaba, we had asked regarding that Mishnah, Ki enim nevlala mayhava. So what's the problem? He's saying you can't bring 61, because it's not going to mix well with the oil. What's the difference if it can't be mixed? But Vatnam, we learned in our Mishnah, Loi Bal Ksheira, if you don't mix it, it's kasher, so who cares? So bring 61. So it's not going to mix it with the oil. That's not a problem, because it's still kasher anyway. And on that, Vamer Reb Zeir had explained, which this dictum is mentioned many times at Chas, Kalaro Labilom, whatever is fit to be mixed, that's a 60 Israelim, which it could be mixed. So then, ain't be l'ma'akevus, but then actually the mixing is not even going to be ma'akev, it's not going to withhold the validity. Now, but one thing you see from that is that even if you're not going to mix it, it's going to be kosher, as long as it could be mixed, but it doesn't have to be mixed at all. Now, b'chol she'ein roi l'bila, but what's not fit to be mixed, when you have 61 esrainim, then be l'ma'akevus, but then actually the halach of mixing actually is ma'akev, and then actually would invalidate, and that's why the Mishnah there says you can't have 61, because you don't have to actually mix, but it has to be able to be mixed. But one thing says the Gemara that you see from the fact that it answers that Bidl is not ma'akiv, obviously that when it says in our Mishnah Leibol, it means even if you didn't mix at all. So if that means not mixing at all, so then the first halacha of the Mishnah of lo yatzik also means not pouring at all. But then we're back to the question, not pouring at all, how's that kosher? But it says ikuva regarding the pouring of the last oils. It says, Gemara, mi de'iri, is that so? Hakadisa, vakadisa. No, each one halacha of the two halachas in our Mishnah are different. When it says lo yatzak that it's kosher, it means lo yatzak kain elazar. It means even if a kain didn't pour, but it's but yes, it has to have the oils poured in it, because ma'akim. But when it says the next halacha leibol, it means leibol klal. It means that if it wasn't even mixed at all, it's still going to be kasher. As long as you could be, it's raw lebila, then bila is not ma'akib, then you don't have to actually mix it at all. Now the Mishnah continued, one of the halachas was oisha pasas apita merubais. Or if let's say that the pieces that were crumbled were too big, ksheira, it's still going to be kasher. Now, on that as the Gemara, what's the necessity of this halacha in our Mishnah? If you don't even crumble the mincha at all, it said in the Mishnah it's going to be kasher. So pita merubis mevayis. So if it's too big of a piece, when you broke it, you didn't break it down to the size that's supposed to be. Do we have to tell you that's going to be kasher? So the Gemara, my pita merubis. What does it mean, pita merubis? It means seriba bepsisin. It doesn't mean that the pieces are too big. It means that the crumblings were too much. Meaning he crumbled it too much, actually they're too small. That's the chiddush, that even though he crumbled it smaller than what it's supposed to be, not like we thought that the pieces were big, but that the activity of crumbling was meruba, that they made it actually too small, that's the chiddush that's going to be kasher. Or the Ibai say more if you want, you can say like we had initially thought. Lo'ilam pita merubis mamash no means that the pieces that were broken down to were too big. They weren't folded enough times. But so what's this? What's the necessity? Well, of course, because even if you didn't crumble at all, it's kasher. Says the Gemara, no, because Ma'av the Tam, what would you say? Hasim over there when you don't crumble it at all. That's where over there is going to be kosher because the ikater is chalsalan. Okay, so they weren't crumbled, but at least they're loaves, they're complete loaves. Aval hacha, but over here when the pieces were crumbled but they're too big, I would actually say that they're puzzle. Why? Because the loiter is chalasik, the loiter is pesisnik, because now you don't have either one. You're not anymore a complete, beautiful whole loaf, and neither are you the pieces that are supposed to be broken down to because you didn't break it down small enough. Kamashalan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that no, even if it was broken down but not small enough, it's still going to be kosher. Now the Gemara asked on what we mentioned before, Lema Masnit, let's say our Mishnah that holds that the yitzika, the pouring, which we said is ma'akiv, but when it says liyotzik, it means it's a kain didn't pour it, but a non-kain did, that it's going to be kosher, is delay k'rib Shimon. Because the time we learn the Brayis of Shimon Lema, he says, Kol kain she'in amayda ba'avayda, any kain that does not agree and accept the acts of service that are done in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Chelik B'Kahuna, it doesn't get any portions in the Kahanic gifts. Shanelik, it says the Pasuk in B'Yikra. It says, HaMakrev is Dama Shlom V'Sachelim in the Aaron, the one who from the sons of Aaron sacrifices the blood of the Shlom and the fats on the Mizbeach, Loi Tia Shoykha Yemelamon, that he's going to get the right thigh as a gift, one of the Kahanic gifts. What that teaches us is, Maideh B'Avayda, if he agrees to the Avayda and he does the Avayda, then Yesh Lo Chelik B'Kahuna, then he gets a portion of Kahuna, which is like the right thigh of the animal. If he doesn't agree to the service, then he doesn't get any portions from the Kahanic gifts. Now, continues Reb Shimon ve'inli elazubavat. I would only know that which is mentioned there explicitly in the pasuk, the dam hashlamim and the chaylev. Minayin l'rabbis tesviv avoidus. How do I know to even add on the following 15 acts of service that are also included in this halacha? If you have to be moidin them to get the Kahanic gifts. Now, the reason why they're 15 is because nesias kapayim beiches kahanim. What's done in the Beis HaMikdash and out are considered as one. What are these 15? So the first one is actually the primary one of our contradiction, is Hayitzikis, which sounds like, as we're going to point out, is considered integral to be done by a Kohen, which therefore that contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah. So he says Hayitzikis, the pouring of the oils onto the flour offering. Vablilas, or the mixing of the flour with the oil. Vabsis is the crumbling of the mincha. Vamalich is the salting. Vatanufa is the elevation. Vagosh is that to bring it near to the southwestern corner. Vakamitza is taking the kamitza. Vaktar is the burnings. Vamalik is like we do by bird karban, is cutting off the neck with the fingernail of the kain. Vakabalas and receiving the blood. Vazais and spraying the blood. Vashkar saita and having the suspected adulterous woman drink the mei saita. Varivifas egla and decapitating the calf when they find someone who was killed and they don't know who killed them. Vataras mitzaira and the purification process of the mitzvah. When the seas kapayim and the lifting up of the palms when the kanim bless the Jewish people, beim bifnim, whether those which are done in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, like the pasuk says, v'isar nas yadav. Beimei b'chutz, whether that which is done in every single city. Minayin, where do we know that the halacha would be that if he doesn't agree to any one of these avodas, he does not get the kahana gifts? Tamud loyma, that's what the pasuk teaches when it says mimnei aharon, from the sons of Aaron. What that teaches is avodah mesura lebnei Aaron. Any service that's given over to the sons of Aaron, which is called kohen she'enu meidaba, any kohen that does not agree to those acts of service, even like birchas kahanim, because that's specifically bnei Aaron, even if that's done in every shul, if he doesn't agree to that, in lecheli b'kuhuna, he does not get a portion of the kahuna. Number one thing we see, so in the first item that he mentions of the 15, that of pouring the oil onto the mincha, is included in those avodas that are mesur lebnei Aaron, that have to be done by the sons of Aaron. Obviously that means to say that it's forbidden to be done by a zar, which is not like our Mishnah. Zadam Rav Nachman, he says, look, kasher, no, it's not a difficulty. Rav Shimon could be like our Mishnah. But Kan, Rav Shimon is talking about b'minchas koyanim, by a mincha that a koyan brings. Kan b'minchas Yisrael, our Mishnah is talking about a mincha, a flower offering that a non-koyan brings. As the Gemara explains, minchas Yisrael, the bas kamitzahi, a mincha of Yisrael, that a fistful is taken off, burnt on the mizbech, the rest is eaten by the kahana. So mikmitzah ve'elach mitzvah zikuna, there, it's only from the fistful and on that is where the commandment of that mincha has to be done by kahanim, like the pasuk says, for kamatz ha'kain, which sounds like that only from mikmitzah and on is the mitzvah of kahuna. Limit al yitziko b'lila, that teaches, but regarding the pouring of the oil and the mixing of the oil, shekashay bazar, where that's done before the kamitzah, oh, that's kosher to be done with a non-kain. However, minchas kaihan labas kamitzahi, but regarding a mincha that a kain brings, where there's no fistful, because the whole thing is burnt as one on the mizbeach, so mikar baikuna, since we can't say bekametz misham kain, that that's when the avayda kam starts, so therefore the whole avayda has to be done with the kahanim, even the yitzik and belila, that's where Rav Shimon was talking about, that that has to be b'nei Aaron, and it's possible with a zar, which is just like our Mishnah. However, Amalei Rava asked on this interpretation of this resolution. He says, Mechti, let's see. Minchas Kahanim, regarding the Minchas Kahanim that you're saying Rav Shimon is talking about, Mehichas Rabbali Yitzika. From where is it included? How do we know the Minchas Kahanim has to have the oil part in it? Minchas Yisrael. We know that from the Mincha that a non-Kohen brings, because by the Yitzika, it's written by the Minchas Yisrael. Now, as the Gemara Menachas, later on, the Ayin Heim and Alf, learns out, other Menachas from the Minchas Yisrael, because we expound, the Pasuk says, V'yitzakta leo shemen mincha. Well, what's the extra word mincha? Just say you pour in it the oil. Comes to include all menachas, including minchas kehanim, to have the halach of kemitza and yitzika, kemitza where it applies, and yitzika even by the minchas kehanim. So therefore, says Rabba, if we're learning a minchas kehanim of the laws of yitzika from minchas Yisrael, so then ma'hasim k'sher bazar, so then therefore, just like over there where you're learning out from minchas Yisrael, you're telling me the yitzika is kasher by with a non-kehan, safacha na m'ksher bazar, so then here also it should be kasher bazar, which is not like Rabbi Shimon says, that he says that it's going to be possible with a zar. Ikadami, they'll say a different version, that Amr of Nachman, his resolution was, loikash is not difficulty. Kan, in our Mishnah, we're talking about benikmatzis, the flower offerings that have a fistful taken from it. Kan, b'she'enikmatzis, here we're talking about flower offerings that don't have a fistful taken from it. Which Rashi points out, the second version of Nachman is essentially saying the same thing as the first one. The only thing that it's different is including that michas nesachim will be the same as michas kaihanim, because nesachim are liquidy, they're the flower libations, they also don't have kemitza done with them. Where it's going to be just like Minchas Kayanim, that Yitzik is going to be possible, bizarre. But that answers the question, where our Mishnah that says Kasher is those flower offerings that have a Kemitza taken from them. Oh, for Kametz HaKayin, that's when it starts, only by the Kemitza, but Yitzik is Kasher, bizarre. But by Minchas Kayanim and Minchas Nesachim, which don't have Kemitza, so then it's even from the beginning, and that's where Rabbi Shimon says it's only going to be B'nei Aaron. On this version, Amalei Rava, the same question, he says, B'mechti, let's see. She'en nekmatzis mehichis rabbi yitzika, those which don't have kmitza taken from them. Meaning the mechas kain and mechas nesachim. Where do we know that they have a lach of having the oil poured on them? We know it, menekmatzis, from those which are have the fistful taken from them, specifically for the mechas Yisrael. So then, says Rava, kenekmatzis, then there should be the same thing like them. Ma'asim k'sher bazar, just like over there, it's kasher with a non-kain. Afacha, namik k'sher bazar, here also it should be kasher with a non-kain. So Ella Machvarta rather says the Gemara, it's clear, masnitin delay kribishim. Obviously, our Mishnah is not like kribishim because the resolution does not work. And our Mishnah says it's kasha bazar, the yitzika, and kribishim is saying the yitzika has to be b'nei Aaron and it's pasul bazar. Now, once we introduce this machlekes, the Gemara says, so my time to Rabban, what's the reason Rabban? So I'm a crook, the pasuk says in the Yikra, the yatzik aleu shemen benasan aleu levaina. We said it's machlik, it's our Mishnah's Rabbanon, that price Rabbi Shimon. Rabbanon says kasher bezah the yitzik. Why? Because it says they pour on the oil on it, and they put on the frankincense, and then the pasuk says, vevia el b'nei Aaron ha-kain v'kometz. So they bring it to the sons of Aaron the kain, and he does the kemitza. What that teaches, when do we start introducing b'nei Aaron? Mekemitza ve'elech mitzvah kuna. From the fistful on, that's when the mitzvah kuna, limit al yitziko b'lila, shekshe bezah. That teaches us, that regarding the pouring and the mixing of the oil with the flour, that that's going to be valid with the non-kohen, as we learned halacha of the Mishnah. But Reb Shimon says the Gemara, why does he hold that Yitzika is pasul bazar? Because Bnei Aaron, as we continue to the top of Yitzes Amidav, HaKoyhanim, those words of the Kayin, Mikra, that pasuk when it talks about Kayin, is Nidrash Lefanav, could be expounded regarding the words that come before it, which it says V'yatzak, La'achrev, and it's also expounded regarding the words that come afterward, which is V'kametz Misham, meaning although it says Bnei Aaron, and it says HaKoyhanim, V'kametz, so yeah, it introduces it by the Kemitza, but the words Bnei Aaron are also expounded what it says before of V'yatzak, so it's in the middle, so the Chacham are saying, okay, we only introduce it here, right when it goes to V'kametz, we're going forward. Reb Shimon says that no, you could expand it regarding what it says after it, which is the Kemitza, but also regarding what it says before it, which is regarding the Yatzak, and that's why he says that Yitzika also has to be B'nei Aaron or the Kehanim, and if it's possible bizarre, which ultimately on the next stop is going to reject this interpretation and give a different interpretation of the opinion of Reb Shimon why Yitzika is possible bizarre.